Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ba-da-da-ba-da.
Halal Show Season 4 Mix Number
27.
27. Rika G, we have a sponsor for this mix. Thank you once again to Go Time, Rika G.
Yeah, I mean, right now with no missions or limits to worry about, Go Time Bank offers a 5% per annum interest rate. Can you believe
5%,
that?
5%, man. Wow. Yes, indeed. It's Go Time for simple, sustainable, and secure savings. Hashtag, I love this, simplify savings with Go Time Bank. So download the Go Time Bank app to open an account today. We have a sponsor, Rika G. Go Time, man. They believe in us and we believe in them. It's really great.
Amazing.
It's amazing.
Amazing. It's amazing. So did you hear that? Did you hear what we just said?
What
okay,
did we say?
Go download the Go Time Bank app to open an account today. That's it. Simple.
Yes, indeed. Diba? Now let's get to the podcast. Welcome to all the listeners out there. I know there are a lot of returning Leche fans, but to all the new Leche fans and Ube babes, as we like to call you, Rika G is going to tell you a little bit about this little podcast that we have grown into a nice little family.
Wee little podcast. Okay, so welcome to the Halo Halo Show. This is a podcast that talks about everything and anything under the sun. Basically, anything that trends on Philippine Twitter or Facebook or anywhere. Discord. May ano ba dun?
May trending ba dun? Super sick at yung mga Discord sa Gen Z.
Diba?
So crazy, man.
Diba?
Join my server, Rika. Did you join my server?
Bro, I don't know how that works. I have no idea. But if you do, then go do that. We talk about everything that's trending. And then we also talk about our lives that nobody asked about, but it's called Where You Been.
Where You Been. So we'll discuss that. But our TTs for today, our trending topics for today, we're talking Bruno Mars. I mean, the concert looked fantastic from my Instagram stories that I saw people were there. But one of the things that we are going to also kind of look deeper into is the situation regarding getting to the concert and even leaving the concert. A lot of people, including big name celebrities, who were unable to even get to the concert in time despite leaving hours earlier. So we'll discuss that. And then it's Pride Month this month. I don't know if we ever said it on the, you know, earlier this month, but happy Pride Month. And we are going to be talking more TTs about Pride Month, is specifically QC, the QC Pride. What do they call it? QC Pride, just QC Pride, right?
Yeah,
that's what they called it.
QC Pride, and then Metro Manila Pride, because Pride Month is coming to a close, and this is the month that everybody celebrates it, and you know, puts it forward to the government and in people's eyes and everything. But obviously, it goes all year round. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The fight never stops,
never,
as they say. But at the same time, with the close of Pride Month, QC did launch something new, and it's called the Right to Care Card, and we're going to talk about that more later on.
Indeed. So if you want to check those TTs out, if you don't care about our lives, you can jump straight to the timestamps. Use the timestamps in the podcast description wherever you're listening to this podcast on. But without further ado, I need to find out what happened to you, Rika G. Where you been, friend?
Basically what I've been doing yesterday.
What happened?
No, but yesterday, actually, I went to London. Wow. Kasi ano eh, kapit-bahay ko lang in London. Pero actually, it's actually a really far train ride. But I had to go to London to interview someone at a homelessness charity for my documentary that I'm doing. If you guys didn't know, I am a master's in journalism student here in the UK. That's why mainly I am here. And for our final project, we need to do a 30-minute documentary. And my documentary is about homelessness. That's what I've been doing the past few weeks, really.
Yeah, man.
So it was actually nerve-wracking because he was the head of the PR and communications for this whole charity. And I was just so grateful to be to be talking to him. And actually, let me just share to you, which I don't usually mention this every single time. There's no reason behind it, but I did therapy the other day on Monday, and it kind of did set up a tone for the week because I did share to my therapist that I'm struggling with contacting people for my documentary because basically I feel like I'm bothering them. Mm. Like basically if you call up an office, sabi natin, if you call up an office and be like, hey, can I talk to someone or can I book a schedule? Can I book an appointment? Most of the time, I don't know if people feel the same way, but I feel like I'm bothering people. Especially like in their jobs.
It's like cold caller.
Yeah, cold calling. Right? Basically, cold calling. It gives me so much anxiety. And then my therapist actually said that, and not just my therapist, but also my mentor in my master's classes, they said that if they didn't say yes to you, they wouldn't bother. Mm. So the main thing that you have to focus on is they said yes, meaning they want to talk to you. Mm-hmm. You're not bothering them. They actually set aside time for you. And I'm like, huh, that really helps a lot because if they didn't actually reply to your email, diba, parang there is no problem. Mm-hmm. So the fact that they said yes, the fact that they said, okay, come over to our office and I'll talk to you, then that's your cue to actually step up. Right?
Right.
So it's the same thing with cold emailing people. If they replied and they said, yeah, let's go to a meeting and stuff like that, then it means that they want to hear you out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because we've been in that position. Remember us cold emailing, cold calling people.
Yeah.
Be like, we were so anxious.
What?
Yeah.
We spent what, like 3 months, I think, just emailing and calling people to set up a meeting for Hadada Show. And we got maybe 3 out of,
we did,
I don't know, like
did.
50 or 60. But I think that, I mean, that was worth it, though. We got our first sponsor before.
It is. Yeah. It is. It was. So, I mean, the anxiety was through the roof. But for me, the therapy session was just a really nice way to kick off the week. Honestly, if I could do that every single week of my life, mm-hmm. I'm good. But we all know that therapy costs a lot.
Yeah.
It does. And if you do have the capacity and the ability to do it, why not? I totally, totally recommend it. But you know what? Just to go off on a tangent about therapy, it does take a while to find the therapist that's right for you. Because sometimes it doesn't jive. It doesn't click.
Mm.
You know? Because, you know, obviously, when you do go to therapy, you also sign up for their own personality, the personality of therapist, and sometimes it's a tough love sila or medyo mellow sila, but mm-hmm. that doesn't work for you, so you kind of have to like jump around, which honestly for me is also a little bit hard because you have to open up to different people. Can
right.
you imagine mm-hmm. opening up that wound every yeah. single time
just to see, yeah, do we vibe?
Do we vibe?
Does my trauma work with you, you know?
Oh gosh. But anyway, that is something that I'm currently working on. Actually, the past 3 years, I have been going to like different therapists. But the therapist that I have now is actually from the school, and we kind of vibe. We kind
nice.
Of she has a nose ring, so I feel like she's cool.
There you go, man. Oh. She gets you. She gets your vibe.
Yeah, and speaking of therapy, actually, another form of therapy for me is going on a bike ride. So I did go on a bike ride last Friday with Ryan and Ryan's brother. Mm-hmm. So we went to Box Hill. If you guys can search, medyo pataas siya, medyo paahon siya. So parang, actually, Ryan described it as kind of like easier than Antipolo going to Sumulong. Pero parang for me, I almost died. But it was really nice because we went with people who actually know the route. Kasi can you imagine going to a long route? Kasi it was almost like 50 kilometers.
50 going kilometers?
And dude, hindi lang siya like almost 50 kilometers flat. Like it's 50 kilometers na may ahon. So that's
damn.
A little, yeah, it's a little like too much for me.
Mm-hmm.
But thankfully my body didn't fail me. And I'm so proud. Can I just say that I'm so proud of my body? And usually, because they're new people, and obviously, like, with people, you know, it comes with just conversations, right? Mm-hmm. So the people that we were with, and I believe, like, one of them told, like, somebody na parang, oh, Ryan's body is, you know, like, really built to be a cyclist. And then somebody said that my body is like built to be a triathlete. Parang ganon.
Because you swim, right? You're a swimmer.
Because I do swim. And I feel like it shows through my body. And I do remember feeling in that moment, hearing that comment. I just said that, well, it's because I am an athlete. Because I do swim.
Swim.
Because I do swim a lot.
Just keep swimming.
And I do remember telling, also again, going back to my therapist, I do remember telling her that the Rika before would have starved herself hearing that comment. Mm. The Rika before would have been, ano ba yan?
Been in swim, man.
Would have been in swim. The Rika before would have taken it personally and punished herself and be like, ano ba yan? May nakomment na naman na malaki yung arms mo or malaki yung thighs mo. But I recognized last week when I heard that comment, I did just say that, well, it's because I work out a lot. That's why I have thighs and that's why I have shoulders, you know, and I'm proud of it. I worked hard for it.
Thick thighs save lives, man. Thick thighs save lives.
Exactly. Baby. And I am so happy that I can pick up my bike. Nobody has to carry my bike for me when we go up the stairs. And, you know, when people call me a strong woman and people call me like, you know, like thunder thighs, I don't care anymore. And I'm so proud of having that moment to myself. Mm. Na parang ako, wow, I did not punish myself and starve myself for 3 weeks because somebody said that I have big arms.
Right.
Because now I am proud of my big arms because I can lift my baby cousin or I can run around with, you know, like, with people in like a sports fest or whatever. Yeah,
and you can swim. So, swim with
I can swim. It's been a while, but I can
swim with the kids. Swim with the kids.
I did swim. Did I tell you about it? I did swim a couple of weeks ago at a public pool, which kind of gave me a little bit of concern because it was a public pool, but okay. It felt good. It felt like home. You know, I did swim competitively for like straight 12 years, I think, in my like childhood. Mm-hmm. So, you know, going back to swimming was just, it just felt comfortable. And That's the reason why I felt proud. Na parang, yeah, I can do all of those. And it shows through my body. Mm-hmm. And I think I do want to end there. Because if I go on the Tour de France tangent, I will go on and on and on. Which, by the way, can I just say one last thing about the Tour de France?
Okay.
It is starting. The Grand Depart is starting in Spain this July 1st. So it goes on July 1 to July 23, and I am subscribed to all of the channels that
It starts in Spain?
It starts in Spain. I think it has a few stages in Spain, and then it goes through France already.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and then it ends in the Champs-Élysées. That's what they say.
I love that. I love that structure.
Diba? but yeah, so I'm super duper excited. I am rooting for my team, Alpecin de Kuenig. I hope I'm saying that correctly. Mm-hmm. Let's go, team. This is the first time in history, first time in my life, actually, that I'm actually rooting for a team. And I actually know the sport. Because, you know, like when you encourage me to be like, oh, just pick a team in the NBA and stuff like that. I do enjoy cheering for the team, but I don't have that sort of connection.
Emotional connection
that I didn't like follow their journey from the start.
Right.
So although I did start late in the season for the Tour de France because it's already starting, which means that, you know, a lot of the tours happened already the past few months. It's okay because I caught up. I caught up, you know?
Yeah.
So I did subscribe. Dude, I paid for an app. I paid for multiple apps.
Damn.
Just to get, they can say, here's my thing. I want to get like multiple like camera angles. Because obviously there's going to be a camera angle for who's going to win the race, like who's at the start of the race. Mm-hmm. But obviously, if like, let's say my team is not at the start of the race, is not mm-hmm. winning, I want to see where they are. If they're somebody's like crashing or like somebody's injured or somebody's mm-hmm. just like falling behind, I want to see.
May ganun pala na parang ano, Tour de France League Pass. Di ba parang NBA
parang
League
ganun.
Pass?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. So we go on the, well, ako, I purchased the GCN Plus app. So it's the, basta, it's a GCN Plus app. Nakalimutan ko yung
pangalan.
I don't know, GCN. So GCN, something cycling network.
Okay.
Yeah.
Global,
Global Cycling Network. And actually, you know what? Their headquarters is just like right next to Bristol. That's why I isip ko, mag-apply kaya ako. Because nice. It's so nice.
Diba?
But anyway, yes, I told you I can go on. And it's been 15 minutes already. And I have to end this shit.
But now you know what? The Filipino fans here, whether they're Lakers or Golden State, you know how they feel whenever their team loses. Diba?
Yeah, bro. Diba? It's just very
ride
European.
Or die, man. Ride or die, baby.
Oh, gosh. But anyway, good luck to all the cyclists and hopefully nobody gets injured because, damn, the injuries there are just like brutal.
It's brutal. Dang.
Yeah. So, Finn.
Yeah, actually, mine isn't going to be that long either because I finally got, I would say, maybe a break in my schedule for the first time in, I'd say, a month and a half.
Wow.
So I didn't have any hostings this week. Although next week I am hosting a 50th birthday party.
No. That's going to be so fun.
I don't mean 50th. Like, I'm trying to think. Well, I mean, because I haven't really hosted one of those in a long time. But 50 years, like what kind of, what music was that? If you go back 50 years, was it 80s, 70s? So was that?
Kasi yung parents ko, they're the 60s. So siguro mga 70s.
Okay. 70s, yeah. So
I don't know. 70s or 80s.
I
didn't
want songs
yeah.
70s. So that's what I'm going to be jiving to next Friday.
And you know it slaps.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. Man, ABBA ba 70s ba ABBA? I always get confused. I feel like ABBA has been around for a while, but Dancing Queen is timeless, baby.
But the thing is, like 70s, 80s music, I feel like the Filipino, like OPM, was actually like pretty big at that time, diba?
Yeah.
So I think they're also going to be exactly. They're also going to be playing those songs as well. So you better familiarize yourself,
dude. When I was at Walrus, kids like the Gen Z, like the college kids. Yeah. Whenever those songs would come on, dude, they would get litty titty baby. Man, it was crazy, man. So yeah, I'm hosting that 50th birthday. But tomorrow I have a pretty interesting racket, Rika G. I'm doing on cam again as a host, but let me just give you a little sneak because I don't know if I can tell you what it is yet because it hasn't come out. But the last week they emailed me and said, "Hey JC, we want you to have a not so clean look, so don't shave until the thing." I'll let you guess.
You were like, "Got it,
got it,
easy."
Say less, right? Say less. So I'll let you guess what kind of quote-unquote character I'm playing. But basically, it's a recruitment video for a company. I'll leave it at that. I'll let you guys know how it goes next week. But it's in Bulacan tomorrow. My call time's at 7 a.m. I'm probably going
to
leave here at like 5 because, A, coding, and B, I just want
to
be sure, right? So that's what's happening in terms of my world of hosting and stuff. Although next month, I'm hosting another debut. I just confirmed another debut towards the end of the month. So it's been pretty good. I've just been doing a lot of voiceover work for my quote unquote international clients there. it's been a lot of fun. And you know, since you were talking about, I guess I'll just do my where you been on this note in terms of kind of therapy. For me, the free therapy, like you mentioned, is like exercise, right? You mentioned swimming. For me, dude, I have been consistent at the gym for almost a month and a half now, maybe 2 months.
Amazing.
Yeah, dude. And I'm down 15 pounds, bro.
Bro.
Yeah. And the thing is, though, like, you know how I've always been on this like roller coaster weight journey throughout my life. And, you know, there was a time when I was really fit, I would say. And I feel like I'm back on that kind of grind. However, I think there's new things that I've kind of incorporated for the first time. Like, so this is the first time in my life where I'm kind of incorporating this, I would say, mindset. So to anyone out there that is maybe over 30 and is trying to get back into shape or trying to get into shape for the first time, the thing that I really now have kind of, because I watch YouTube videos, dude, every like time I'm free, if I have nothing else to do, I just watch all these fitness videos. And, you know, there's a lot of conflicting ideologies when it comes to diet and like whatever, you know, like what you should be eating, high carb, low carb, whatever. But at the end of the day, it really comes down to, like, you have to see what works for your body, right? And I think I've kind of figured that out for the first time, because my metabolism isn't what it used to be. Despite my metabolism being really garbage even when I was younger, it's even worse now. So I kind of had to see what really worked. And for me, I've really tuned into the fact that, like, carbs is something that really makes me tired all the time. But the thing is, though, I would go before on like low, really low carb diets and it would work, but then it wasn't sustainable because I love carbs, man. I love croissants, right? I love bread, bro.
And
I love rice.
You do need carbs.
You do need carbs.
You do need it.
And so, you know, I've finally incorporated, because I bought a food scale a while ago, but I've only really recently started using it to understand portions, right? And I think it's one of the essentials nowadays. If you really want to get serious about your diet, you need a food scale. And they're not that expensive. I got mine from GC's, though, way back, but I never really utilized it to its full potential. But I would highly recommend getting a food scale, understanding your portion. You don't have to use it every time. After maybe 2 weeks, I was able to kind of eyeball the portions just because I already kind of had been weighing it for 2 or 3 weeks already. But I've been doing, and I don't know if this is super sustainable or really that healthy, but you know, I hate cooking, right? Like, it just takes too long, because I'm one of those guys that just wants to eat. I don't care. For me, food is fuel. So
right.
What I've been doing for the last month and a half is I go to Landers. Das binibili ko yung, ano yung, alam yung rotisserie chicken?
Yes.
Dude, I buy like 8. At a time.
No.
Yeah, yo. That's binabalat ko lang. I give the skin to either Marissa or the dogs, right? And then I just eat the meat on there. So there's still some flavoring. Yeah. I guess it might be high in sodium or whatever. But dude, it's helped me a lot. I mean, for me, the weight progress alone has shown that, you know, it's still okay. I mean, ideally, I would be cooking lean chicken breasts, right? But, you know, I don't have time for that, bro. I don't want to do that. And then, so yeah, my diet has been good. My gym has been good too, man. I've been going to, like, I've been lifting weights. I've been tracking my progress. Tracking is also, besides your food, tracking your progress in the weight room is also super important. And it's something that I've kind of got back into, you know, just seeing how much weight I lifted the time before, trying to increase the weight, progressive overload, whatever. All these terms that you hear from fitness influencers, I've been kind of trying to incorporate it into my life, right, man. So yeah, overall, that's pretty much what I've been doing this week, you know, just doing the same health grind. And also, I think the thing is, like, the, you know, cheat days has always been a thing that I really tried to stay away from, because, you know, I felt like it would derail my progress too much. But now I understand, like, I think for the first time I truly understand the value of eating a cheat meal. Not a cheat day, a cheat meal. And like yesterday, I went to Marugame and I just had like stuff that I love. Marugame, man, never fails me. But I think to anyone out there, you know, if you quote unquote fall off the horse or whatever because you had a cheat meal, it's not the end of the world, and you can always recover from it. Because that was always the thing that really would bring me down before. Like, if I had a cheat meal, it would turn into a cheat day, and then it would turn into a cheat week, and then I'd be done. Like, I would
actually
be so... Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, like, sorry to cut you off, but, like, I actually do follow a lot of, like, fitness influencers, and at the same time, I'm very picky about them because it depends on their messaging, and I do see a lot that there's also this problem that's calling it a cheat meal or a cheat day, when in fact, it's only a meal.
Right,
and
right.
You won't... And the thing is, the reason why a lot of people kind of, like, fall into the trap that, oh, I already had that cheat meal, it makes you feel bad and I feel awful about it, might as well, right? Pride might as well, and it snowballs into something bigger.
I get
the
it.
Reason why is because, you know, you're labeling it as a bad thing when mm-hmm. in fact it is only a meal that you eat, and nobody gains 20 pounds by just eating one meal, one cheeseburger and one mm-hmm. one
fries,
you know, one,
and Coke.
Exactly. And, you know, labeling it as something that's bad in your head kind of like perpetuates that hate inside of you mm-hmm. that says that you don't love your body.
Yeah.
You know, you ate that cheeseburger. When in fact, it's just a meal that you enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it really depends on, like you said, like the consistency of it and how much it is. And if you do that every single day, obviously that's when it becomes, you know, like not helpful to your body.
I agree.
But if you do enjoy it for that one time, and let's say you are sticking to, let's say, a meal plan, and then you, like, quote unquote, stray away from that,
mm-hmm.
it's not for me. I mean, for me, honestly, I try not to do that.
Yeah.
Because labeling it as something like, let's say, oh, this is, you know, alam mo yung narinig mo na yun before, na parang, oh, this is so bad for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but there's no such thing as anything bad for you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just depends on how you move for that day. Exactly.
Yeah.
It depends on how you move for that day and how you feel that day. And yeah, I
that's a good like point, from
man. Right? Diba? Mm-hmm. Parang, and it's I see it a lot on like the fitness influencers that I follow nowadays. And mm-hmm. you know what I also appreciate with fitness influencers that I follow?
What's that?
Because like I said, I'm very, very picky.
Mm-hmm.
They always show their, like, yung pose nila in the gym that's like really fit and really nice and really tight.
Yeah.
And then when they sit down, they're all the same.
Na parang, yeah.
We are the same with you, that we have stretch marks and floppy bellies and everything. It's just that mm-hmm. we pose. And I'm
right.
like, oh, okay. It just reminds us that, oh, no, people pose for Instagram.
Yeah, because, you know, dude, a lot of these fitness influencers, like if you see them, like, you know, with their shirts off and they're super ripped, to get to that, just to that, like maybe few seconds of them posing, that takes an ungodly amount of like discipline and stuff. But I don't think they maintain that throughout the year unless they're competitive. It's rare that they look like that every day. You know what I mean? And I think that's really, it's a good showcase that it's not always like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think like throughout the day, it's not something that, because, you know, people eat. And when
yeah.
you eat, it's like space in your belly. And mm-hmm. obviously, it will be a little full.
Yeah.
Diba?
Parang, I agree.
And I feel like that's just one part of their days na parang they're super lean. Okay, fine. It really looks good. And it's posed. Good lighting. But like even with guys, I think like, you know, when people eat, like there will be a belly.
Hell yeah, man.
If you think about it, diba? It's space being taken up. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, until you poop it out, it's still there. I mean, it's there, man. It's hanging out. Right?
Thank you for that image.
Yes. Oh, the last thing, not about my poops, but the last thing I want to talk about, real quick, because I've been on What's Your Ulam Pare? Like, I don't know why. Somehow the Facebook algorithm has made it known since I'm dieting that they want to show me all the best food that people are eating, right? And What's Your Ulam Pare? I know we've talked. I think we've talked about this on the podcast before.
Yeah,
it's
a
Facebook
yeah.
group, right, where people just post their food, you know, like food finds. And I saw a couple weeks ago from No Brand. I know you love No Brand, right? The Korean, it's Korean, right? Korean
I
brand.
Miss.
Yeah. And they have, somebody posted like their cold brew Americano. It's in like a, what do you call it? It's a plastic bag full of cold brew coffee. It's not that
so
sweet.
So is it like Tetra Pak?
I guess.
Like a Zesto type of thing.
Parang ganun, but bigger. It's like liters,
okay.
right?
So oh, okay.
I got the Americano whatever thingy. It's like 240 pesos yata. Dude, I've been having it the last 2 days. It's so good. I just want to shout out to anybody that loves cold coffee and you don't have, you know, you don't want to go. I know like it's probably for the coffee purists out there. It might not be, you know, for you. But if you just want a quick instant, quote unquote, instant coffee, you can just pour it out of that big Tetra Pak thing. It tastes so good, man. I mean, it's not sweet. So if you like black coffee, it's really good for you. It tastes good. I just want to share it because people were raving on it about What's Your Ulam Pare. And man,
I can already taste it.
It's worth, bro.
Iced coffee is the best.
Dude.
Even if it's cold.
Yeah, man.
For me, iced coffee is still the
best.
Yeah,
man. Put it in the, your like your aqua flask or whatever tumbler you have and you're good to go. You don't have to prep anything. You don't have to mix anything unless you want milk or something, but it's good to go. So that's, yeah, that's pretty much what I would recommend this week. And that is Finn, man. Shall we wapow to our first TT?
Wapow.
All right. We're talking Bruno Mars. First of all, Bruno Mars had his 2-day concert over the weekend here held at Philippine Arena. We'll delve into the Philippine Arena thing in a bit, but of course, he had rave reviews from people online as well as from my own personal accounting of my friends who went. Some called it the best concert that they've ever been to, Rika G, and I would not doubt that, man.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, he even, you know, there were some clips on TikTok of him saying, you know, speaking in Filipino. I forgot what he said, like, nahihiya ako. Did you see that video?
No way.
Yeah, look it up. Bruno Mars saying, nahihiya ako.
Nahihiya. Nahihiya ka pa? Nag-ano ka? Nag-concert ka? So, nahihiya naman ako, guys.
Yeah.
Sa concert ko.
So, those fans who were able to catch the whole performance really were, you know, they were in for a treat. And I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, just Bruno Mars. I always talk about how his first halftime Super Bowl show is, for me, is the best of all time. I mean, you can count Michael Jackson, you can count Madonna, you can count Prince. I know it might be a hot take, but I would say that for me is still, in terms of my lifetime, the best halftime performance show I've seen, like, ever.
I'm actually surprised, but did you actually consider going to the Bruno Mars concert? Because I know that you're a fan.
Yeah, dude, I did. And then yun nga, and that's why. I saw that it was held at Philippine Arena. I know that might be such a, like, a minor thing, but dude, I've been to Philippine Arena. I forgot what.
And it's not your vibe.
It's not the vibe, man.
You pulled a Taylor Swift there.
Yeah.
They're like, no, thank you.
I pulled a Coldplay, bro. I pulled a Coldplay. So there was a lot of things about it, and I'm sure you've probably seen it online as well, Rika G, of the experiences of people commuting and getting to Philippine Arena. Some people leaving as early as 1, 2, 3 p.m., and the concert was in the evening, and some weren't even able to catch the whole set. For example, Maine Mendoza, you know, Yaya Dub, she posted online saying that they left mga 4 p.m., and she got to the last two songs, bro. The last two.
No.
She only read it to the last two songs. If you see the quote
that's
that
ridiculous.
She said. I know, right? She said, happy pa din kasi umabot sa last two songs. Napaka-hassle lang talaga ng entry and exit. Has it always been like this? Kamusta ang previous concerts dito? Ang tamang panahon, which refers to the Aldub. I don't know if you remember that kind of tamang panahon where she met with Alden for the, I think it was for the first time. Parang they shot it live in Philippine Arena. And then she says, shocks, sorry kung ganito din kahassle. So it just goes to show that even, you know, Maine Mendoza, bro, she could have probably got front row seats and had, but you know, she went the route that everybody else went, which was along NLEX. And it was just unbelievable traffic going to and even going from, like, leaving was pretty rough, man. According to, like, some other people who went,
actually, I do have, like, because I came across this one video, and I don't know if it's, like, a personal video of somebody's, like, Instagram, or it's from, like, an actual, like, publication or something. But I did see someone talk about tips and tricks about going to a concert in the Philippine Arena. Mm-hmm. And they actually, like, one of their tips to actually not go through the traffic or the rush going out of the arena, it just meant that they had to miss the last two songs or last three songs. And that's ridiculous to me, because you would expect that when you buy a ticket, you enjoy the whole show.
Oh, yeah. But and actually, the last songs,
especially the last few songs. And because you don't know if there's going to be, like, an encore or, like, you know, parang confetti or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's part of the whole experience. And it's just so weird to me that actually people are accepting that, for you to miss the, you know, the rush of the people going out, you have to miss the last three songs. And I'm like, that is so sad. Mm-hmm. I'm sad for that person, because they actually kind of, like, accepted their fate. Mm-hmm. Parang, you know what? I'm not going to be watching the whole thing. Because, see, I would be sad if I missed the first two songs. But I would be extra sad if I had to miss the last three songs. And to my, you know, it was her choice to do that. Kasi alam na niya how it gets really bad when people go out of the arena. Mm-hmm. And it's just weird to me that people pay for that.
And those tickets aren't cheap, bro.
Exactly.
Expensive.
Na parang, and I wonder though, na parang who do people go to address that problem?
Right.
Is it the local government? Is it the Philippine administration or whatever?
Could be NLEX, for example. I mean, NLEX, I'm sure, like, I don't know what else they could do because it looked like a parking lot. Some people described it as a parking lot. And on Twitter, you know, things that trended were NLEX, Bruno Mars and PH and Philippine Arena had trended already even before the concert had started. So you already knew that something was happening along those lines of getting to the arena. Some people actually on Twitter, there are some few stories that were super sad, man. They missed the whole concert, man.
Grabe.
Damn, bro.
I would be so gutted.
Oh my goodness, man.
I would be so mad in the middle of NLEX.
Yeah.
I'd be like...
Yeah. I had friends there at lunchtime. At lunchtime, they were there already. I mean,
grabe.
Kudos to them for, I guess, you know, maybe just the dedication to make sure that they get there in time. But to get there, I mean, just think of that. Some people had to leave at lunchtime to go to a concert that started at, what, 7 p.m. or 6 p.m. Like, that's
ridiculous.
Insane.
Because, see, you know, I understand that if it's like a festival, you know, where the music goes on like since 12 noon up until the nighttime, gets ko yon. But if it's like you're just going to be there waiting for the concert at 8, 7 p.m., wow, that's something else.
Mm-hmm.
Na parang for me nga, naiisip ko, asan kaya yung problema? And where do people
where do they go? Yeah, what's the remedy to this, right?
The problem.
Yeah.
Kasi parang naisip ko na, are we just gonna accept this? But it seems like parang ganun na nga.
Maybe.
Kasi, you know, it's not something new to us.
I feel like one solution would be if Philippine Arena could provide maybe like parang loading zones around different key parts of wherever people would be coming from. And then have like shuttle service. I feel like, and then give that shuttle service some sort of like priority. I don't know if that's possible along NLEX.
Alam mo, I think it's the same concept kasi if like the public transportation is better. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think
if
so too.
If that's kasi the solution, then why not make the public transportation better?
Yeah.
And make it more accessible to the Philippine Arena. Kasi if you imagine all those cars, if they can fit into one train, like one like hilera ng train, then why not, diba? But then again, it's not that easy.
I mean, I talked about it last week, right? The location, I told you, I dislike the location very much simply because of that. So yeah, I mean, overall, that's kind of the roundup of what happened getting to and from the Bruno Mars concert. If you Leche fans want to chime in, I know. Oh, by the way, shout out to the Leche fans that kind of gave us TT suggestions. Unfortunately, we couldn't get all of them because of the time constraints. But thank you to, I forgot who suggested this one. I think a few people suggested talking about this one. So keep doing that. Other than that, we have about 30 seconds left on this free call for this TT, Rika G. Any more final thoughts on this?
That's it. I mean, I am kind of jealous. I want to see Bruno Mars.
Same here. And hopefully it happens more smoothly next time whenever he comes. But yeah, shall we wapow to the next TT?
Wapow.
All right, so we're talking about the QC Pride March held in Quezon City at around the Quezon Memorial Circle grounds, where over 100,000 people, Rika G, attended. I remember talking about this last year. I think the number is, there's more people now than
it
there
is.
Was last year,
it
right?
is. It was bigger. So last year they had 25,000 participants, which is actually the first year that they held it in Quezon City. And then this year it just exponentially became bigger.
Four times.
So this year, four times bigger. So this year they did have at around 100,000 participants, and at the same time they had really good guests as well.
Yes.
And performances, different drag queens, and you could see it on people's Instagram stories, on Twitter. And then at the same time, actually the same weekend, because this is the last week of June, which is Pride Month, the Metro Manila Pride also was also held. This was held where, I believe? In Circuit Makati. there.
So all throughout.
So this is all throughout. Yes. So I think there were actually a lot of conversations around both Pride marches. Na parang some people were like, "Bakit hindi ko to alam?" And why weren't, you know, people from Pasig, you know, informed or whatever? But yeah, those are just like the conversations around it. But it seemed like people had a great time.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like you said, I saw it on my stories as well. But I think one of the things like that you actually brought up, I still think it could do. I mean, probably next year, because, you know, from 25K to 100K. Now, I think it's picking up momentum, right? Because even me, like, I knew it was Pride Month, but I didn't see any sort of I wouldn't say advertisement or whatever, but like I didn't see any sort of social media stuff on it until it was actually the day of. So I guess maybe next year I want to go. Like, I want to go check it out. But I didn't know until it was actually happening. At that time, I was already kind of, I had plans already. But yeah, dude, it's always, obviously, it's a very colorful celebration because, you know, the Pride Month colors are very bright and vibrant. And I just saw, you know, people dancing and celebrating. And it was really a cool time, man. Like, I wish that I was able to go.
Actually, it's something that I would actually be interested in going, especially because I'm from Quezon City and I would love to see my city. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see my city celebrate it. And because, you know, I mean, it's something worth celebrating, but at the same time, we should not forget that this is still rooted in protest. And I was reading up about, you know, the history of Pride and the LGBTQIA+ community in the Philippines, and at the same time, when did the Pride March start here in the Philippines? Because we do know that it did, you know, spark in New York, I believe, in the Stonewall Inn.
I wouldn't doubt it. Possibly.
Yes, in the Stonewall Inn. And that's, you know, when the Pride March kind of like movement started, a year after the Stonewall Inn riots. That's what they say. They did hold a Pride March. And here in the Philippines, actually, they did hold the first Pride March a little bit around like 25 years after the first one in the U.S.
Yes.
And so that's, I believe, 1994, if I read that correctly. So, you know, it's been here, but it's been here for quite a while, but at the same time, like people say, yes, it's nice to see the progress, but there's still a long way to go.
I would agree.
I hear that a lot from people, right? At least
there's a lot of progressive movements going on. I mean, one of the big, I guess, controversial topics that arose from this, I don't know if you heard about that, Rika G, but Silent Sanctuary was set to actually perform.
Yes,
but they were dropped, and I think for good reason, because so the story behind that is one of the former members of Silent Sanctuary kind of voiced their opinion about Silent Sanctuary playing, because when he was a member of the band Dao, they told him that he had to kind of stay in the closet. That was the term that was told to him. He had to stay in the closet because they were afraid of their, you know, their image or their branding and whatnot. Although later on, Silent Sanctuary did issue a statement saying that they, let me just read it. "Being in the performance industry, we respect all forms of gender performance and identity, et cetera, et cetera. And we have no qualms about it for any matter." So they released that statement. But I think at that point, that's because it was more of a damage control thing.
Exactly.
But I think it just goes to show that being dropped from that, I think it was Joy Belmonte, Mayor Joy Belmonte, who is the one who made that official decision, or whoever it was, just goes to show how serious they take the LGBTQ plus community, you know, because they could have let it slide. They could have just said, like, you know, they could have taken an apology and just kept them performing. But I think it just goes to show how, like, how serious people's rights are and people's, you know, what do you call it? Human rights. You know, you gotta.
Yeah, as it should be. Mm-hmm. As it should be, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to feel about it, because obviously, for me, because sometimes I think about it as, sometimes the artist is different from, like, let's say, the people who handle them. Diba minsan parang may nakita mo yun, and because, like, I don't know, like, honestly, like, for me, I have seen it with my two eyes, like, systemic homophobia in, like, let's say, a company that you work for or you work with for a time. Mm-hmm. Na parang sometimes you feel like, shucks, I don't want to be enabling this, but at the same time, I work for them.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Na parang,
I get
but
it.
Obviously, I still stand my own ground and I have my own, like, morals and I have my own opinions that I am obviously against it. Mm-hmm. But it's just that sometimes ma-realize mo na parang, where are we? Like, our state of, like, acceptance and, you know, equality, especially in the Philippines, you know, motherland, our motherland. Mm. Parang maisip mo na parang, do people actually really accept it?
Yeah, already? I mean, I would say that we're not there. Obviously, we're not there yet. But, I mean, this being indicative, you know, Silent Sanctuary being dropped is indicative of, you know, a strength that maybe was not as prominent before, I would say.
Yeah.
And hopefully it gives people courage to, you know, to stand, like, you know, saying no to Silent Sanctuary is a pretty big deal, I would say, because Silent Sanctuary is a pretty iconic band, right? I mean, I know they're not maybe in the twilight, I mean, I know they're not maybe in their prime of their careers anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they were bigger, you know, maybe early or mid-2000s, but they're still a pretty big draw. So to cut them completely was a big big show of support. And I think that
we do not support this at all. Homophobia at all. Tolerance at all.
Yeah. So hopefully that is, you know, a spark for people, you know, just to show, well, A, the LGBTQ+ community that, hey, look, they actually stand by us. They stand by what we believe and they stand by us as a community. So, yun nga, I think it was great.
Can I just share, because okay, so here's the thing, and I know that my sister's out and about already and not hiding anything. So my sister is actually a lesbian, and we were talking about it just the few weeks ago, because she went on a talk about her job, I think, and being in, like, a high-level position and being in the being part of the LGBTQIA+ community, and how she got there and everything. So we were in that zone, and I was like, okay, so how did you manage that part of your life where, let's say, where our parents didn't actually accept you, or you had that kind of clash with my parents? And I'm not saying that my parents are bad people or whatever. It's just that I know that they're stuck in their old ways and stuck in their old thinking. And I'm happy that they are, you know, that they repaired their relationship now. And I'm sure that my sister can say more about this. Mm-hmm. But I asked her that question and she gave me an answer that I think, I don't know, a lot of people might relate with. She said that she told my mom, you don't have to accept me and the label. You just have to accept who I am and how I live my life every day. Mm-hmm. The label, okay, fine. That's the, you know, for the world, you know, to have.
Just to have,
that's
right?
That's for the society. You don't have to accept the label. You just have to accept me because this is who I am. Like, every single day, this is what I feel. And I was like, that makes so much sense. And it actually worked for them. Because now, I mean, now we're full grown adults. I think we're past the time where we're like clashing with our parents.
Yeah.
And I'm happy that they did go over that hump. But I know that a lot of people still are there.
Oh yeah.
And it's a hard mountain to climb. Mm-hmm. I feel like.
Yeah. All over the world, it's happening. I mean, especially in the United States, you know, they're super touchy about that subject. There's a lot I see on Twitter nowadays of backlash regarding, you know, LGBTQ+, parang, ano tawag dito? Like, they have, like, they go to schools and they read books about being accepted,
bro.
Because they want to reach out to kids that maybe they're confused or they're trying to understand who they are.
Mm-mm.
But even just a simple act of what I see as an act of kindness is being vilified by people on the opposing side who say, leave the kids alone, right? And, you know, there's both sides have some sort of, like, argument. And it's really something that, like you said, a mountain that is still scaling, that we're still scaling. And hopefully people realize, I mean, your parents is a great example of people that realize that at the end of the day, man, it's about the person. right? Labels aside, you just have to respect the person. And I think that hopefully we can get to that point.
Can I just say, though, that, I mean, like, my parents did kind of, like, get over that hump with my sister. But it is still kind of like an everyday thing. Mm. It's not an everyday thing that, you know, that maybe they have to accept or be in a conversation with. So nobody's relationship is perfect with their parents, especially. So, and I'm not saying that, you know, they're over it or whatever. But I'm happy that we can have that conversation with them.
Yeah.
Even if I actually don't know what they think about, let's say, the LGBTQIA plus community. I don't know. I've never been in that conversation, but I would love to be. And I do remember watching a documentary about, it's Angel. Okay, I have to remember. I have to look it up again. But it's a documentary about this queer couple here in the Philippines. And we watched it together. And I could see in their eyes something changing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Na parang slowly they understand. Even if they don't fully understand. Na parang, I was like, I'm happy you guys finished the documentary. Mm-hmm. I am quite pleasantly surprised. So it's, I feel like it is a journey.
Yeah. And it goes to show the, you know, like, taking up space in the industry of film and art and whatnot is a huge aspect of that. I mean, you mentioned the documentary. That's why there's always a lot of issues that arise whenever let's say an LGBTQ plus character is played by a straight person. Although the straight actor really might do a serviceable job. That's why there's a lot of people are saying, but that you should give it to somebody from that community simply because of things like that. Not that there's anything wrong with a straight person playing that person that kind of, you know, from that group, but that's why topics like that arise. Our final TT for today kind of stems from, I would say, the progression that we made. But just to wrap up this one, Rica Gia, the tweet from the organizers of the march, I like the way they put it. And it's a wrap. Maraming salamat sa 100,000 strong na rumampa, nagmarcha, nagmaganda, nagmahal, at higit sa lahat, lumoven. I don't know how to say it properly, but
lumoven.
Lumoven. Parang they loved. Parang
lumaban, but like,
yeah, but
love is
yeah,
love.
Yes, okay. There we go.
Lumaban.
Lumaban. Right. Shall we wapow to the final thing that we're gonna talk about?
Wapow.
All right, Rica, could you tell us about the Right to Care card that is going to be formally launched?
So the Quezon City local government launched the country's first Right to Care card. So this is giving the LGBTQ plus couples the legal authority or legal right to make medical decisions for their partners.
Nice.
Which is mind-blowing. Ako, but I cannot wrap my head around it. That is just amazing. And I know that this is just the launch and we don't know yet like the process and let's say how accessible it is, because that's also one issue for me.
Mm-hmm.
Na parang how, okay, fine, we do have this, but how accessible will it be?
Yes.
And plus this is also for people who live in Quezon City, if I'm not correct.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, based on the article that I'm reading from ABS-CBN, the Right to Care card, it's a special power of attorney card that authorizes queer partners to make medical decisions for the one they love, as though you held the power of a civil marriage contract. Because I know that marriage, same-sex couple marriage or LGBTQ plus marriages are still not allowed, or at least in the eyes of the law here in the Philippines. So at least this gives them some semblance of, like, if they were married, this is a right that they deserve. They deserve this, but based on the law, it gives them it brings them a step closer to what we are hopefully ultimately trying to achieve, is same-sex partnership being legal and recognized. And it's a huge thing, man. It's a huge step. And I really respect it, man.
It is. And like I said, this is, I guess, the first step. And I do want to see how it progresses and how it is made, you know, accessible and well-known to people. And even not just, you know, like people who are part of the LGBTQIA plus communities and who have partners, mm-hmm. but also to people who are allies and yeah. people from Quezon City, parang how do they take it? And,
mm-hmm. It's going to yeah. be announced, I believe, this weekend, like the actual, maybe the mechanics. I don't like the word mechanics, but how it's going to be officially launched on Saturday. It was officially launched on Saturday during the Pride Month. The Pride mm-hmm. Month celebration. So I guess the next step is how do other LGUs follow suit, right? I mean, Quezon City is a start and Quezon City is huge. But what about Pasig? What about Manila? What about, mm-hmm. you know, Pasay? I don't know if Pasay or Manila are part of the same place. But you know what I mean?
Oh, like, ano?
What is the... Lucky kasi, di ba?
Hindi ko din alam eh.
I don't know.
I think Pasay... Pasay is a city within Metro Manila.
Okay.
Kasi Manila...
Pero Manila, hiwalaying Manila, di ba? I think,
oh,
right?
Oh, Manila okay. din is a city eh. Yeah.
Gets. Okay.
Okay.
But yeah, how do we get, you know, all these other places to follow suit? Because this is really what I think the future should progress towards, you know?
Pero grabe, no? The ball is in their court, as they say, na parang...
Mm.
Because, okay, so... Mayor Joy Belmonte did say that this is only the launch, and they do have like a team of lawyers to see the feasibility, legality, and you know, like there will be a lot of discussions around it and how to implement the program. But this is like they can set the precedent in the future
mm-hmm.
when other LGUs want to do the same thing.
To follow, yeah. Yeah. Another thing I forgot to mention, as well as making medical decisions, this right to care card will also allow the couples to include their partner as their beneficiaries in their life insurance policy under their special contract. So that's also another big thing, right? You know, planning for the future. You know, it's something that every couple should have with the person that they love. You know, having that kind of safe, that peace of mind of, you'll be taken care of or they'll be taken care of, for example, if something were to happen, which was previously impossible based off of mm-hmm. the law. And I hope, there's really not much else to say about it other than it's the right move and a right step in the direction that we are hoping to get to. But here's the official, I guess, because the guidelines are still being finalized, according to CNN, and an ordinance for the program is still being finalized. But however, once they are approved, interested queer couples may visit the city's gender and development office to apply for a card. I didn't even know they had that. So that's cool. That's good information to know. Gender and development office to apply for a card. They'll be asked to fill out an application form and sign a special power of attorney. And then after that, they are required to attend seminars, according to the LGU.
Okay.
So there we go. That's the information that you need to know.
Okay, then.
Any more thoughts on this, Rikuji? I mean, there's so much
then.
We could say about it, right?
I know.
But good job, QC, for real. I remember there was a time when I feel like, you know how people have a glow up or that, you know, Mayor Joy Belmonte, I feel like, really took the lessons that she... Remember, there was, I think it was like pandemic era, that we were giving her flack for something that she did that didn't seem like the best thing to do. And I think she's really turned it around.
It's either that or she has a really good PR team.
Yeah, that too. I mean, it's not, of course, it's not a one-person team, right? So,
yeah,
Joey Belmonte and the Quezon City LGU, good job, man. Like, that is kudos to you. Like, it's an inspiring move in the right direction in something that has never really been attempted or done before. I would say, I don't know. I don't know the history of trying to fight for LGBTQIA plus rights here in the Philippines, but it seems like this is unprecedented. I think like this is the first time that this is happening, and you know, just keep going, right? Keep going, QC.
Right. Let's go.
Let's go, man. So yeah, that's the Wapow. Shall we Wapow? I think we're done with this
Wapow.
One.
Wapow, I think we're done.
We are done with the TTs. Yes, indeed.
Are we still going to say that we have an odd diva that we're never going to talk about?
No, I'm sorry about that,
never.
Man. Yeah,
never.
We're sorry.
No,
just look
kidding.
Up the articles, no. right?
Yeah,
look up the
it's
articles.
Everywhere.
It's
anyway.
Everywhere.
but
that's it, man.
Don't forget to rate us on Spotify, because I feel like that's something that we need to remind people as well. And then we also have a Facebook group that you guys can join. So it's the Halo Halo Show Leche Fam on Facebook. And that's where you can post whatever you want, as long as you're not selling anything or you're not scamming anyone. Yeah. Because, hey, we are literally going to hunt you down if you scam
I will find
anyone.
Out how to make money from you.
And then at the same time, we also have the broadcast channel,
we
right?
We do. You got it right. You got the name right. Broadcast channel. Rika G, who are you, man? Yeah, we have a broadcast channel on Instagram. And because of that broadcast channel, we were able to actually find some TTs from you guys right off the rip. You know, we ask for suggestions. We post updates on there. So if you're more of an IG person, you know, if you're probably a more Gen Z millennial skewing and you're not into Facebook other than Messenger, then that might be the place to go. We don't have a Discord server as of now. Until Rika and I figure out what that is.
We don't have my brain.
But we do have a Gmail account, right? Email. You guys know how to use email, right? Do people still use email
at
nowadays?
At Hotmail.
Oy, may Hotmail ako. Yun yung first ever email ko, Hotmail.
Ano mga obscure emails?
MSN. Yeah, I feel like even to some extent, Yahoo is kind of outdated. I rarely see any more Yahoo
emails. I do.
Emails.
Yeah, yeah, it is true. But you know what? I came across someone who has a Google Mail account, like ni Gmail. Like Googlemail.com. Yeah. I did not know that that exists.
Doesn't
and I don't
it
know
go
how
to the
they
same
got
thing?
It.
Like, I feel like if you put in just at googlemail.com, it goes to your Gmail. Feel ko lang.
Hindi. As in, like, before daw, tinray lang yan at gmail.com, pero it doesn't work. It's at Google Mail.
That
it's
must be
weird.
Hassle. Hassle nun, siguro. I bet they miss so many emails. Ano pa ba? Lycos. I remember Lycos.com.
I've never heard of that.
I think that was big
before.
Sa States before eh. Okay. Tapos yung mga ano, before yung mga, at least sa States, yung mga internet service providers, meron silang parang dedicated at blank.com. So for example, at AT&T.com or at whatever.com. So for example, here it'd be like at converge.com if it was done here.
Yeah.
Pero parang ano eh, lahat Gmail na lang or your company's email, right? So,
yes, actually.
I don't know. So, well, even companies now, they just use Gmail, eh? Diba?
Well,
I see it.
It like, depends. It depends.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, tayo, when we were in RX, we had our own email account, but I never used it.
Well,
I never
mine
used
directed
it,
to my main email. So, it would forward it there.
But I love that we have like a 4-minute discussion about just emails. But yeah, email us, guys. Hindi pa nga namin nasasabi ko ni email namin. It's thehalahalashow@gmail.com.
Yes, indeed. And of course, Rika G is working on her YouTube channel. I saw your shorts where you were messing with the Zoom microphone and stuff. I saw that.
Yeah. So what we've been doing is we've been posting on our climbs, me and Ryan. But I also reposted on my Instagram because I feel like that's also where you can get traction probably. Because we do have a following there already. Tapos parang medyo pwedeng. I don't know. Honestly, I don't honestly know how to build a YouTube channel, but I'm trying my best. Mm. I'm grasping at straws here. Mm-hmm. But it's really hard. It's really hard to grow a YouTube channel.
It is, dude. But once you figure it out, like once you understand the algorithm, the right thumbnails and stuff, you'll get there. You'll get there.
Speaking of, can I just say, I'm really enjoying the channel of Average Rob. If you guys can check it out, it's just really funny. Average Rob, but I don't know how to describe his YouTube channel. But it's just like a lot of like funny challenges, like sporting videos. Pero funny siya. So parang very like, I want to say like Jake Paul type of vibes.
Right.
Pero not like Jake Paul.
Okay.
Yeah.
not as toxic.
Not as toxic, I want to say. But it's just really funny. So anyway, yeah, we do have Instagram as well. It's Halo Halo Show. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Just some final shout outs, Rika G. From Facebook, we got a Facebook message.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
From Monica Maristella, who says, can you guys shout me out? But also, just wanted to say thank you for having your podcast. It's been having a rough work week, and you two never fail to crack me up. I'm in California.
Bro.
And listening to you guys makes me feel like I'm chatting amongst friends super effortlessly funny. Keep it up. Funny tayo. We're funny ka.
Funnier.
But shout out to Monica. Yeah.
Actually, that's not the right shout out. It's Monica.
Monica! Also, shout out to the Leche fans who suggested the TTs. Unfortunately, we couldn't get through all of them, but I hope a consolation shout out will suffice. But shout out to Incredipaul, to Charina, to JD, to Alan, Gary, to John Paz, and to Aldrin. Thank you for suggesting the TTs. And if we miss a shout out or two, please just let us know. We love doing shout outs here. So if you want a shout out, just message us, man. But if you want a special shout out, email us, huh? Email us. You'll get a special entry here. But yeah, that's it for the podcast, and we'll see you all next week. Rika G, shall we extra song? I love the show.
Bye.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.